This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, fellow redeemed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us into your kingdom and on your mountain through Christ's perfect life and death, and for giving us your holy name in our baptism. We also ask this morning, gather more people of every nation into your house of prayer every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to guess that you are probably familiar with the game King of the Mountain. And I guess you are because most of you are younger than me and I'm not that old and I remember it. There was a person, remember, that was up on that mountain. He was king. He or she was king or queen, I suppose, of that mountain in the corner of the playground where that snow was piled high. If God didn't love you like me and put you in a place where you have horrible Wisconsin winters. Or maybe you were blessed by God and he loved you and you played it on a raft out in the water. And of course, if you were that king, you did everything you could to make sure somebody didn't climb up on there and take your spot, and so you threw them down and you did what you could. And everybody else, their goal was to try to rush that mountain and do whatever they could to push you off so they could take your spot and be the new king. And so the point of the game was simply this. If you were a king, you wanted no one else up there with you. You wanted that spot all by yourself. And if you weren't the king, you were going to do everything you could to try to get up on that mountain and overthrow that king and now take it for yourself. Let's please keep that image in mind as we now hear the inspired word of God from the pen of the prophet Isaiah. We hear his words recorded this morning in chapter 56, verses 1 and then 6 through 8. The prophet writes, Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. That is our text. Now, Isaiah is telling us this morning that our Lord is not like a king like we are or like a king on King of the Mountain. No, he's telling us that our God is actually the complete opposite. He's saying there's room on the Lord's mountain. And there's room on the Lord's mountain not just for the King of heaven and earth, the one who consumes all things and fills all things, but there's also room there for you and for me. But see, that concept, because of our sinful nature, is completely foreign to us. It's foreign to us because we like to be the king and the queen of every single mountain in our life. And to be honest, are they really mountains? They're more like hills, aren't they? Maybe you're a new student here, but before coming here, you were a king or queen in that high school you recently attended, and now you find yourself on the bottom of this mountain, this hill. And so now you have the goal, you have the thought, you are going to do whatever you can to climb up the Bethany Mountain. And that means maybe you will make poor or sinful moral decisions. Maybe you will slander or gossip about somebody to climb over them because you don't want anyone standing in your way. Maybe it means that you will do whatever you can, godly or ungodly, to have other people accept you. If you've been here for a while, maybe you're close to the top, or maybe you are at the top and you have no intention of giving that spot up anytime soon. And so maybe you are going to be tempted to tear down and destroy other people instead of helping them and speaking well of them, helping them maybe through personal mentoring. Maybe you are going to try to do whatever you can to make somebody else look bad, even though maybe they're your teammate. Or maybe somebody in your group. Maybe you're going to be tempted and you'll go through with the idea of trying to direct somebody to do something immoral, wrong, so that you can use that information against them down the road. Because you don't want to be knocked off that top spot. Faculty, staff, don't think we're getting out of it this morning either. We're supposed to be older and wiser, and you know what? We aren't any different. Just like our students, if we are on the top of the Bethany Mountain, we don't want to come down. And if we're not there, we're going to do every single thing we can to try to climb up that mountain and to reach that top spot. And so maybe at times you and I this year will be tempted, unfortunately, to let our sinful nature get the better of us and to knock down our co-workers instead of helping them and mentoring them because we want to be top dog. We want to be king of the mountain. Maybe we'll look for opportunities to see and hear things from our co-workers and use that against them if it can make them look bad and us look better so that we can keep climbing to the top. Maybe we're going to struggle with being a team player here on campus because we worry it could make us look expendable. Or maybe because we just don't see how it's going to benefit us personally. Yes, my friends, it does not matter if you are a student here or an employee. Each of us, every single person by nature in this room, wants to climb up to the top of that Bethany Mountain. And we are going to do whatever we can and let nothing stand in the way of what we're trying to accomplish. We want to get to that top spot, and we do not want to vacate that until we do so on our own terms. And see, the problem is then that attitude and that way of thinking, that goes through every other part of our life. And at times, you and I, because of our sinfulness, we even don't even want God up on the top of that mountain with us, as we ignore his command, as the prophet writes, to keep justice and do righteousness. And yet, in spite of you and me being sinful kings and queens on our self-made mountains, our Lord says this to us this morning. He says, these here is us, the Gentiles. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. So again, the only true king, the king of heaven and earth, says to us morning, there's room on the Lord's mountain. There's room on the Lord's mountain because God is not a king like we are kings. God is not like a king in the game King of the Mountain. He certainly isn't a selfish king. Jesus proved himself to be unselfish when he left Mount Zion, Jerusalem the golden with milk and honey blessed, and took on our flesh and was born of the Virgin. Jesus proved himself to be an unselfish king when he came and he suffered and died in our place by being abused and beaten and killed so that you and I, we could be washed clean of our sins. Jesus proved himself to be a sinless king as he lived and died in absolute perfection. There's room on the Lord's mountain because Jesus chose to descend from Mount Zion, heaven's mountain, so that he could climb up Mount Calvary and there he could die on that cross to wash us clean of every one of our sins. He did that so that, just like he did 40 days after that sinless and selfless death and resurrection, you and I, we too will one day be able to ascend to Mount Zion forever. There is room on the Lord's mountain. And because of that, that is why God offers all people forgiveness, life, and salvation through his means of grace. In Christ alone and by faith alone, the Lord wants all people to be on his mountain with him for eternity. And because there's room on the Lord's mountain, and because God wants each and every one of you on that mountain with him for time and eternity, you have comfort and hope. And it's not just a comfort and hope, my friends, because you have heaven to look forward to. It's also a comfort and hope for the here and now. Isaiah's message is comfort and hope because it is a reminder that as the world is trying to beat you down right now, maybe it's through adjusting right now through issues of going to college or issues adjusting to having a new roommate or issues adjusting because now you are away from friends and family. Friends, this message is comfort and hope because it reminds you that God is always there watching over you and protecting you. Isaiah's message is one of comfort and hope as the world is going to try to beat you and tear you down and knock you off the mountain in the months to come. Whether that maybe be through issues because of friends and people that you thought cared about you now are betraying you. Or maybe it's going to be beaten down through a breakup or another sort of struggle, betrayal of a friend. See, this is a message, my friends, of comfort and hope. Because if you have been, if you are, or if you will be betrayed by a coworker or a fellow student, whether it be through gossip or slander or some other way because that person doesn't want to get off the top of that mountain, You have comfort and hope because you can be confident that your Lord and Savior will reach down into that pit of despair and hurt that you've fallen into. And He's the one that will lift you up and He will brush you off and He will put you back on that path that leads to the mountain of heaven as He does that through His Word, whether it's here in a chapel service or the Word you receive in a religion class or some other way. He will do that for you as He strengthens you with Himself in the Holy Sacrament. And He will give you that comfort and He will give you that hope time and time again through brothers and sisters who've also been knocked down, who have fallen off that mountain, as He places them in your life to give you Christ's love in what they think and in what they do and in what they say. Yes, my friends, there's room on the Lord's mountain for you and for me and for all people, because you and I, we have a King of Kings who lived and died for us. And so please let this message of hope and comfort touch your heart and your mind and your soul so that it is there for you each and every time the world tries to knock you down, so you have that comfort and reminder that God is there for you. May this message of love and grace fill your hearts and minds so that you can share it with the other people in your lives, especially when they need it the most. Amen. Please rise. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore, world without end. Amen. Let us join ourselves and our hearts and minds in prayer. And we pray, O Lord, light of the world and saving strength of your people, we thank you for the gift of your word, implanted in the hearts of your people, that having been delivered from the power of Satan and the fear of death, they may live to serve and praise you in righteousness and purity forever. Pour out your word abundantly upon the multitudes of every nation, that their eyes may be opened and their hearts turned from falsehood and error, idolatry and evil works. Open their ears to hear your word of truth, that the morning star of spiritual knowledge may arise in their hearts. This we pray in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave himself for us, that we might ever live through him on his holy mountain for time and eternity. Amen. We continue with the hymn.
80